From KCRW, this is DNA Design and Architecture. I'm Frances Anderton. Statues of slave traders and Confederate leaders are being toppled or defaced amidst protests following the killing of George Floyd. How does that feel to a conservator who's worked on some of them?
I fully understand that those sculptures need to come down. What I will say is artistically, it's so very hard for me because academically, they're really good sculptures.
Andrew Baxter has built a career preserving and finessing the bronze and other metal surfaces of statues. This is what he does.
It can be very meticulous in painting with pigmented shellacs or lacquers to touch up areas that have been damaged on a patina, on the colored surface on a bronze, or I can be up on a 80-foot lift truck welding and assisting with metal finishing to strengthen a part of a monument that's gotten damaged or become weakened through time.
Andy has a stellar list of clients.
On any given month period, I will be in Washington at the National Gallery working on the massive Henry Moore bronzes in front of the East Wing. Then I might be down at the North Carolina Museum of Art working on Rodin's Three Shades. And then I'll be working at the Virginia Museum, perhaps, on, say, a Seymour Lipton bronze that's very different, a contemporary bronze. And then I'll move to Richmond, Virginia, and work on the heroic scale Virginia Washington Monument on Capitol Square in Richmond. That's an idea of the range of my work.
And that range includes the statue of the Confederate General Robert E. Lee. It was sculpted in France by Antonin Messier and unveiled in 1890. It is the crowning glory of Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia, the one-time capital of the Confederacy. Now the Lee statue is spray-painted with messages of protest, and the state governor has promised it will be taken down. 10 years ago, Andy Baxter was hired to make some structural repairs to the statue and to restore its lustrous surface. More recently, he's done some maintenance work, cleaning and waxing the horse and its rider. So what is it like to work on these contested statues? I reached Andy at his home and we talked about his craft, the attacks he has received, and his growing awakening about whether these symbols of racism should go.
Well, it's a very difficult for me because my job, my work is to maintain and to improve the sculpture, do no harm. That's quite opposite to what we're talking about, either vandalizing or taking down a sculpture. However, having said all that, I realize the time has come where people feel very strongly about that monument coming down. And it seems that the time has come for it to come down. Maybe it should have come down a long time ago. It's a hard concept for me to grasp, taking down monuments and sculpture, because that's what I do. I restore them. What I would like is that sculpture, the Lee sculpture, belongs to the Commonwealth of Virginia. And if we would carry out the democratic process, we would probably have a vote, the citizens of Virginia, to see if they indeed, the majority, would like to have it come down. Or maybe that's not relevant. That's just something I was thinking about this weekend. And I think that all that it evokes, all of the anger, the fear, that the sculpture should come down.
Back, though, 10 years ago when you first started working on the Robert E. Lee statue, and this could apply to all the sculptures that you work on, are you really focused 100% on the materials, or do you reflect upon what the sculpture is about?
No, I really don't. I would say that you really have to have your wits about you when you're on scaffolding and you have safety rails and such and a harness, but it's a very difficult, demanding job on a 90-degree day with a mask on to a mask before the virus. We wear masks anyway for safety, so I'm used to that, breathing into that 90 degrees, concentrating on what I'm doing. It's extremely difficult work. And so I'm very focused on the job in front of me, whether it's coloration work. We work with a blowtorch often to heat up the metal, to apply the chemical patinas. It's hot work. I don't really think about the subject matter. Mostly when I do think about that is when I get yelled at or screamed at, which is fairly often obscenities hurled in my direction about the fact that I'm working on the monuments and what am I doing, and people coming up to me face to face and screaming at me. And I generally would just explain that this is what I do for a living, and I'm trying to do it well. The most yelled at I ever got was when I worked on the Christopher Columbus Monument in Richmond that was recently torn down and thrown in the lake, and perhaps that is where he belongs too. But anyway, I was very closely aligned. I've been shrieked at working on police officer statues. That seemed inappropriate to me at the time. Perhaps it's more relevant, and I understand much more now the anger. And so I've run the full gamut with with being verbally accosted on the sculptures that I work on.
Did that ever make you consider not accepting a project or a commission?
I've thought about that quite a bit in the last year, a sort of awakening, if it were, in Charlottesville and all the horrible things that happened there. I was asked to testify in Charlottesville. There was never an open trial, but again, it was for my technical expertise. How were these made? How were they put together? What about the sculpting process? How were they cast? And that's who I am. That's what I do.
Just remind me, what was the statue in Charlottesville that people were contesting?
Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. Another Robert E. Lee and towering, very large one. And then I was asked to come. There are two winged angel figures at the base of the Stonewall Jackson. And they're very beautifully carved in granite. And they've been hammered, literally hammered and chiseled and hacked to pieces, these two angelic figures. And I've been asked to talk about the damage that was done there. And it's very difficult now. I don't know that I would work on one again. Well, there won't be any, which is a good thing, but I don't think I would work on the sculptures anymore because I've been awakened as well.
Well, there may not be any more statues of Confederate generals, but there may be more statues. And maybe what we might be seeing in a lot of places, including in my native country, is the chance for new statues to appear. And who might those statues monumentalize?
Well, it's a very good question. And I'd also like to say what I think is important to understand about Richmond, too, is that they've done a fairly good job of putting up monuments that portray other aspects of Richmond's history. Arthur Ashe was placed on Monument Avenue, a very important sculpture, the Reconciliation Monument. One is in Britain, one is in Africa, one is in Richmond, a very powerful slavery monument depicting embraced, stylized figures. The Civil Rights Memorial is on Capitol Square, right near the governor's mansion, very well executed. I think about 15 figures, starting with the figures who protested in Farmville, Virginia, African-American students who protested. I helped install Rumors of War by Kehinde Wiley in front of the Virginia Museum. I helped to install that in December, and I'll be treating that this summer. For maintenance, a very powerful sculpture depicting a young African-American man riding horseback with sort of urban streetwear on, if that's the term, and modern clothing, so that it's kind of a foil to the monuments. Kehinde Wiley was very affected by the Jeb Stuart monument, sort of a rearing horse with Jeb Stuart. And so his sculpture, Rumors of War, looks very much like the horse looks very much like the horse of Jeb Stuart, and of yet, of course, a huge difference with the young African-American rider rather than a Confederate general. So that's a very powerful image. And, you know, I've thought about when you lose, if they take down Jeb Stuart, which, by the way, they caught them with ropes last night, about to pull down Jeb Stuart or attempt to, it kind of loses its relevance. That conversation ends in a way because they're only about a mile apart. And to be able to compare them visually, it's very powerful. The unveiling of rumors of war was incredible to see, well, to put it plainly, people of all color gazing up at such a different subject matter, and just it evoked so much emotion. It was an amazing ceremony.
Wow. Wow. Is it possible to achieve exactly what you've just laid out, that strength through contrast, by having the statue of Jeb Stuart put into a museum, perhaps, with proper contextualization? Do these inflammatory statues need to remain on Monument Avenue? Is it the placement of the statue that matters as much as the statue itself?
Putting that Jeb Stuart in a sterile museum environment kind of changes the conversation to me. But again, once again, I want to stress that I fully understand that those sculptures need to come down. And I would never try to defend that they should stay up. What I will say is artistically, it's so very hard for me because academically, they're really good sculptures. Jeb Stuart, Maury, Fontaine, Matthew Fontaine Maury, also called Pathfinder of the Seas, they still use his charts on the oceans. And there's a beautiful swirling group of figures around a globe on a storm and swirling waters. And so that's very powerful. I wish that globe could stay up. But again, he was a Confederate naval commander, so I understand it needs to come down. But the loss for Richmond, tourism, huge amount of money. It doesn't have a lot of money, that city. And Monument Avenue was just beautiful, but for the wrong reasons, I suppose. So I get that. Its time has come.
Over your years of working in Richmond, did you ever work with African-American workers on these statues? And if you did they express strong feelings about the statue's content?
That's a very interesting question. My one experience with working on the Lee Monument, it was not my contract to do the granite, the stone, massive stone base, but an African-American mason was working on that. And I had known him for some time, and he came down the scaffolding, and I passed him at one time, and he looked like he was close to tears. And he said that he had been berated by people, white people, that what was he doing working on that sculpture, and how could he, and how dare he, and the whole Uncle Tom trip and all that. And he just looked at me, this is what I do for a living. This is how I feed my children. That's why I'm here working. This is my job. So there are other sides to this question.
Indeed. Even though for you this is your work, it's your craft, you're not sort of political about it, I did happen to notice that on your website, in terms of the projects that you cite, the Confederate general statues aren't on the list. And is that because people target you if they find out you're associated with the statues?
That's a good question. I'm not sure that was a conscious effort. I believe I tried to show a range of work. As you know, the Henry Moores, a big contemporary pure form sculpture, is totally different than the Washington Equestrian Monument, huge military figures. So I was showing a range, yet I would imagine either subconsciously or not, to put something as divisive as a Confederate general on my website when there are only perhaps five projects. Yes, that would be one that I wouldn't choose.
And when you were art school learning your trade, was the content of the statue part of the education?
No, I would say very little politically was spoken about when I was in art school in upstate New York and then in the Bay Area in California. It was more about concepts, artistic concepts, ideas of design and color, composition, things like that. When I worked at the Art Foundry, just north of Manhattan on the Hudson River called Talix. We had all kinds of things. We had Metropolitan Museum of Art replicas. We had incredible abstract sculptures by Frank Stella or Nancy Graves. Then we had monuments, military monuments. And again, you were focused on the welding, the assemblage, the coloration, the metal finishing. Never really thought much about the subject matter.
Now, you spent years working in Richmond, I believe even living in Richmond, and now you live in Florida. Did you move to get away from the controversies in Richmond or for other reasons?
Mainly other reasons, a lifestyle change to get away. I love the Gulf Coast. I've always loved Southwest Florida, but certainly the Confederate thing was an issue. It was starting to close in on Richmond. It was spoken about so much on both sides, so strongly. There are a lot of still descendants of those Confederate daughters, United Daughters of Confederacy, the sons of Confederate veterans and all that. And then, of course, the people on the other side wanting the monuments to come down. And I got tired of the constant conflict and the bickering. And, you know, fairly recently, Christy Coleman, African-American scholar, was the director of the Civil War Museum in Richmond. And that merged the Museum of the Confederacy with the other Civil War Museum, another Civil War Museum, and it's at Tredegar Iron Works, where armaments were actually cast. So it's a very incredible location. Christie was on a council that was formed by Mayor LeVar Stoney, our African-American mayor of Richmond. They formed a council to look at the monuments, and their recommendations were that just Jefferson Davis come down, the others be reinterpreted. And so there were discussions about that. Now, I know the tide has turned tremendously for various reasons, but that was a very thoughtful, scholarly approach to what should happen. And I'm disappointed that the hundreds of thousands to take these down, the masonry part of the Lee, I work with numbers and bids, so I'm aware how much it will all cost. My gosh, that couldn't be used maybe for housing or schools. Maybe for more sculptures. They just put up a big sculpture to Maggie Walker, put up more sculptures that would be positive and benefit the image of Richmond. I'd love to see more art come up. And yet, again, I keep going back to that. It needs to come down. But boy, it would be nice to use those hundreds of thousands for putting up things or for schools or for education.
Will it cost hundreds of thousands to dismantle those sculptures?
If you would safely, yes, it would. If you tear them down with ropes and drag them across the ground and not care about what happens to them, it can be done for less.
Well, Andy Baxter, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Good to talk with you, Francis. Thanks for the interview.
That was Andy Baxter. He's a conservator of statues and sculptures and founder of Bronze et al. I'm Frances Anderton. Thank you for listening to the DNA podcast. Stay tuned and stay well.